Ladies and gentlemen, people of the internet, welcome back to yet another episode of Crypto Over Coffee. I hope you're doing well today. And if you're new here, every Saturday we break down the latest news and the hottest topics in the world of technology and cryptocurrency over a cup of delicious coffee. That being said, in today's episode, I'm talking about the dangerous time that we are in the crypto market and how you can prepare yourself. Of course, our usual 404 Logic Not Found segment and more. So make sure that you stick around for all the updates we've got in store on the show today. Now, if you like crypto, please do subscribe to the channel, hit the bell notification button on YouTube, or if you're listening to the podcast, please follow on the podcast platform of your choice, and you can get a heads up whenever I post new episodes of Crypto Over Coffee, which again is every single Saturday. And I do want to remind you, like we do every single week, please be aware of scammers that are across all social platforms pretending to be me, including on YouTube, that are in the comments posing as me, and other crypto YouTubers trying to steal funds from you. I don't have a WhatsApp. I'm not gonna ask you to contact me on WhatsApp or on Telegram. So if the comment does not have the name highlighted like you see here on the screen or the verification check, it's not me and you can report them. So please be safe out there, folks. And by the way, every week I give away a Keystone Tablet Steel Seed Phrase backup device on every episode by picking a random YouTube commenter from the video. So all you have to do to enter is just leave any comment on the video and you're entered in the random draw. So the winner of last week's giveaway is here on the screen. So big congratulations to you and I will be in touch. Also, I want to give a quick shout out to Lee Smith who sent me a very nice email the other day. You know who you are. Shout out to you. Now, the headline of the video actually relates to our normal crypto market update because the conditions right now in the markets make it the most dangerous time for the crypto market and those who are in it. We're now seeing this volatility and market unpredictability that can cost unprepared investors every single cent of the gains that they've made throughout the last year and some change. So I wanted to address that here and give you my take on how to prepare yourself for the unpredictable market conditions that we're seeing. For the last several weeks, we've seen pretty negative price action in the crypto markets, with altcoins continuing to sell off every week, and blue chip coins like Bitcoin and Ether getting hit hard as well, and losing support levels of 50K and 4,000 respectively. This week, it seems like we managed to avoid the complete worst outcome because as I sit here right now, many coins are up 1, 2, 3% on the day, meaning we don't have another red weekend, at least not yet. This market calamity lately is undoubtedly correlated to the struggling traditional markets, regulatory uncertainty, the rampant inflation, and frankly, lots of early buyers who've taken the chances that they've had to take profits, at least based on what I've been able to see. This period of time, and in these market conditions, it is so, so dangerous for crypto investors who don't have a concrete plan in place. Here's why. Up until about 4 weeks ago, when we had a sheer drop in prices from all-time highs down to significantly lower prices, pretty much everyone's sentiment on media and social media was bullish. This lulls people into a false sense of security, or worse, it has people overextending to take advantage of what they think is a surefire investment win. Hey, we're going to keep going to all-time highs, I'm sure of it. People who did that at, say, $65,000 Bitcoin are in real trouble right now. Similarly, now you have people calling for a bona fide bear market, which might lead one to believe that they should cut their losses and move on. And as we all know, a single day could very well see 20, 30, even 100% plus gains in the crypto market for certain coins. So people who sell at a loss now and miss a big run up will similarly be left feeling hurt and holding the bag. So I'll be talking more about the dangers of crappy investment advice on social media later in the show, so stay tuned for that. But the key thing that you have to realize about these markets right now is that literally no one has any bloody clue what's gonna happen. As I sit here right now, I can tell you with certainty that not a soul knows what's gonna happen next. So you have to be prepared for all outcomes so you can protect yourself, because you gotta look out for you above all else. If you are overextended on crypto investments already and you're underwater and you need cash now, your best move might be to liquidate some for a loss. For someone else who doesn't need the money, their best move could be to hold and wait. The point here is not that this is what you should do, but that every situation is different. Even if the circumstances on the face of it really seem the same. Right now, you should be taking stock of what you have in your portfolio and determining your long-term belief and conviction that each of those coins that you have is something that you think will provide value and as such accrue value over time. Coins you don't think have that potential, you may consider setting price thresholds to sell out of, even if it's at a loss. Even for coins you do think have longer-term legs, you should be thinking about setting price thresholds to sell some for profits, even if you miss some upside. Some profits are better than losses. So people who posture for a bear market and sell everything, or people who posture for a bull market and double down or hold everything, are not playing the probability game to their advantage. The odds are already tough in any investment market. Having a plan tips the odds ever so slightly more in your favor, which can be very significant in the end. You're ready to act whether we turn bearish or bullish, and that can happen in a flash. The last thing I will say is that my sentiment here is still macro level bullish. I don't have a time scale, but I'm macro bullish. I don't think that the prices of many cryptocurrencies accurately reflect their value, Bitcoin in particular. The on-chain and off-chain metrics tell a very different story than the prices do right now. You have Bitcoin leaving exchanges at huge rates, much like Ethereum has been for a while now, and the balances on exchanges are very low. You have Bitcoin's hash rate at or near all-time highs, even without China, in spite of China's ban, which tends to signal good things coming for the price if we look at historical examples, which are only so good. You also have active conversation and positive movement on the regulatory front in the USA, with some of the biggest thought leaders in crypto getting to say their piece and talk to lawmakers and regulators. I'm not calling this a bear market just yet, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm prepared for it if it comes, and you should be also. In 2018, I saw so many people buying into the dip, every dip, as their gains just shriveled away. And virtually every big voice in the space was promising that we're going to rebound, we're going to go back to all-time highs. And that time never came. Please do not repeat the mistakes of the past. We have this advantage of hindsight here, so let's use it to our advantage. If you're prepared and you've taken profits and even taken losses along the way, you can have cash on the sidelines for when this inevitable bear market bell rings and the new buying opportunities arise. So if you have questions or you want to get my thoughts on your plan, feel free to shoot me a message, leave me a comment here. My DMs on Twitter are open and I try my best to answer them. So trying to make myself available. Now, in the spirit of making a plan, I also wanted to talk about my partners at iTrust Capital, who are big supporters of my channel. And yes, I do get a small kickback if you sign up for their service through my links that are always in the description, so I'll be clear about that right up front. That said, this is an indispensable part of my personal crypto investing plan. I literally cannot execute my plan without iTrust Capital's cryptocurrency individual retirement account service, which is why I'm sharing this in the first place. So if you're in the USA, you can set up a traditional pre-tax or Roth post-tax IRA where you can trade cryptocurrency actively without accruing capital gains or losses along the way. For those who want to be more aggressive in their trading during volatile times like this, where things are maybe a little unpredictable but are afraid of the tax consequences, this is where you can execute that plan. For example, here's a great scenario. Many people want to sell what they believe is an all-time high or a local top, which triggers a capital gain tax event because you sold for a gain. But then many want to reinvest that at the next sell-off. They want to reinvest that profit. However, there's a lot of risk there because you now owe taxes on that gain, which you've already realized. So if you reinvest all that money and the market goes down and you lose it, you now have to pay taxes out of your own savings for that other gain. So within my pre-tax crypto IRA on iTrust Capital, I can do these aggressive trading moves without having to worry so much about the individual trade tax implications. iTrust Capital has no monthly fee for using their service, and you can roll over an existing retirement account in full or partially, or you can contribute directly to the account to start investing. That said, everyone's tax situation is different, so please consult a tax pro, which I am not, to help optimize this for you and your own personal situation. So I've left a link to iTrust Capital in the description and pinned comment in case you'd like to sign up and check it out. Next up, I want to share a cool project in the Avalanche ecosystem that I thought was really cool. And as such, yes, I did invest in it. So you have that transparency. I'm not telling you to buy it, by the way, as always. I never tell you to buy things on the show, okay? We should just all know that by now. The project is called Colony, and it's squarely focused on providing stability and value to the Avalanche ecosystem in a number of different ways. There is an incubation component where the Colony protocol acts as a sort of venture arm to help new Avalanche projects launch and build, and gives investors like you and me access to early round tokens. But we've seen this before. That's not the part that really interested me at the start. Colony will also be creating an index, which allocates funds to investments in the top Avalanche projects by market cap, along with other projects voted for by the DAO construct in Colony. This means that investors can have access or exposure to a basket of Avalanche ecosystem coins without having to go and buy them all directly. To further support the Avalanche DeFi ecosystem as well, Colony will also be providing liquidity on an ongoing basis to DeFi protocols on Avalanche, which is, as you know, critical for the growth and stability of DeFi anywhere. Liquidity is king. All of this is going to be continually wrapped in a DAO structure where CLY token holders are first-class citizens, determining where funds are allocated, getting rewards for that, and guiding the decision-making of the Colony platform. This decentralization will, of course, come gradually, and there will be centralization in the beginning. Just bear that in mind. But all in all, the Colony platform is a fascinating project to me, and one that's squarely focused on investing in an ecosystem and passing the rewards to its community. So it really was appealing to me. Let me know what you think after you get a chance to read into it some more. All right, folks, we're going to test out a new segment now on the show today. I'm going to tentatively call it Rational Reactions. I'm basically going to read ridiculous, irrational, or just headlines in popular crypto news sites or just news headlines around the world. I'm going to give my immediate reaction. And if you hate this segment, I'm not offended. Please tell me. I just like to test new stuff and see what people like. So here we go. Let's switch over to the computer. All right. First one is on CoinDesk. Crypto's carbon footprint could hinder adoption, from Deutsche Bank. Oh, and there's a strap line too. Mining just one Bitcoin consumes a larger carbon footprint than nearly 2 billion Visa transactions, the bank said. Here's my reaction. I would really like to know what the net carbon footprint is for the issuance of fiat currencies around the world and for the ongoing maintenance and operation of not just Visa, but all of these different banks and stock markets and trading platforms and fintech applications that do the things that Bitcoin and Ethereum and these other places really do. Bitcoin is a place where coins are issued, where you're issuing a currency. There's cost to doing that. In this case, there is environmental impact. And there's no doubt that there is a serious issue in some cases with the usage of electricity by cryptocurrencies like Ethereum and Bitcoin that use proof of work. We get that. What this, I think, is missing is this headline is being very misleading, implying that all cryptocurrencies are the same, all of them are polluting, and it's also equating Visa, just Visa transactions, to the issuance of a Bitcoin, which I think is very misleading because that's just one part of what Bitcoin does. There's all sorts of other things that Bitcoin does that you'd have to compare to make this apples to apples. Okay, that's my reaction. What Kickstarter going decentralized means for Web3? Oh boy. Will other Web2 giants glom onto crypto, DAOs, and the next generation of web technology? Seems like there was a little bit of typo there. But anyways, honestly, I do not see how Kickstarter going decentralized is first going to work, and second, what value it really has. I'll tell you, one of the first smart contracts I ever built was a really simplified crowdfunding mechanism where people could contribute Ether to this contract. They could then get access to a token or physical product, or if that product never shipped, you could use a potential Oracle. It was a very simple Oracle back then. This was just an argument. This was a test contract. This wasn't production, okay? You could make a report that the product is shipped, and then those funds could then be unlocked and moved to the creator of the contract's wallet. Very simple, lots of holes in it, but it was an interesting little thought experiment. To me, Kickstarter going decentralized, I think they're doing this on the Celo blockchain, if I remember correctly. I think I read a tweet about this afterwards. I just don't see how this is going to work. This model moving decentralized takes a lot of effort and a lot of time, and there's a lot of legal and regulatory ramifications to doing crowdfunding in this way. I just don't see it happening. I don't see it working. We'll see. Next article, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says U.S. lawmakers shouldn't hold crypto to remain impartial. That ship has sailed, okay? That ship has sailed. You realize that already tons of congressional lawmakers, state and local lawmakers, people that are involved in making laws today and executing on judicial elements of it, all of these people have financial interests. It's almost impossible not to as a person. Congressional people own stocks. We know this. It's been talked about all the time. Impartiality, that ship has sailed, okay? A lot of people in Congress own crypto. I don't have an exact number. There are no statistics out there. I doubt that we would know exactly who and how much they have. But this ship has sailed. U.S. lawmakers, they hold crypto, they hold stocks, they have financial interests, they have biases. We're people, they're people. That's the way it goes. This is wishful thinking. I'm sure individuals can, stand on their soapbox and say they're impartial. You're really not impartial, even if you don't have a financial interest. 5 times quickfire crypto traders bought the news for double or triple digit profits. This is a pretty irresponsible title, in my opinion. This is promoting the sub 1% lucky, or maybe some skill involved, but mostly lucky gambles that pay off huge and pay off big. It's the equivalent of the, here's how much you would have if you invested $1,000 in Microsoft 30 years ago or 20 years ago or whatever you want to add time scale wise, excuse me. It really, really bothers me when we glorify these types of high risk plays and like news plays where we're trying to glorify the idea of these triple digit profits. Doesn't make any sense to me. That's my response. This does not promote rationality in people's investing habits. They're always going to be chasing the next thing for these triple digit profits. Last one of the day. Craig Wright stated in 2016 that he had used the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto to launch Bitcoin. This week, it was decided if they would give him the authorship. This article does not adequately capture the result of that climate trial. This does not prove in any way, shape, or form, based on the way the verdict reads, okay? Based on the way the verdict reads, subject to interpretation, to me, it does not state in any way, shape, or form that Craig Wright is Satoshi. This is a financial matter only between him and the Kleinman's family, the Kleinman family, who claimed that they were owed some sort of share of the proceeds in this environment for the creation of this technology. This does not prove that he is Satoshi Nakamoto. So articles that are implying this, quite frustrating to say the least. This would be so easy to solve. We wouldn't have this whole circus if Craig Wright could just produce a signature from one of the early keys that owns a Genesis wallet. It would be very obvious, very clear. It just doesn't make any sense. Anyway, there's the segment. Rational reactions, mostly rational reactions. Let's move on to the next segment. In other news, the popular hardware wallet maker Ledger announced a few pretty awesome things this past week, the first being support for a variety of long overdue cryptocurrencies natively on their Ledger Live companion application for their hardware wallets. Most notably, Layer 1 blockchains like Solana, Elrond, and Cardano, who have been relegated to third-party wallet interfaces for far too long. Now, users can natively manage their assets in Ledger's own software, making the whole process a lot easier and, frankly, less error-prone. I do want to point out that the individual project teams often have a lot to do with this process of getting on board to Ledger Live, so the credit does not solely go to Ledger for this work. Now, Ledger also announced a brand new product as well, which is a crypto debit card product to compete with others who offer this, like Crypto.com, for example. The product is dubbed Crypto Life, or CL for short, which I'm not nuts about, but hey, what can you do? I don't own the company, so. The most important thing here is not the name, but what it offers in terms of value. And I'm willing to bet that this is the first crypto debit card product that links directly to one's own cold storage. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's pretty cool if you ask me. With this card, There are basically two options for funding the card for purchases. One, you can set it to automatically sell crypto and convert to local fiat currency in order to make a purchase. Or two, you can borrow against your cryptocurrencies in near real time to pay for goods and services with a 30-day lending period according to the docs. Now, I've not gotten to use the card yet because it's not out yet. We're looking at quarter one for folks abroad in quarter two for the US. So I can't speak to its usage, my personal experience, but I'm looking forward to trying it out. And when it comes out in Q2 2022, I will let you know what I think. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for 404 Logic Not Found. And for those of you who are as of yet uninitiated in this little firecracker of a segment, a highlight notable tech related fails or otherwise stupid moves in the world that need to get some attention. Speaking of attention, if you want to help this episode of Crypto Over Coffee get some attention from the algorithm robots, please hit the like button, get subscribed, follow the podcast, whatever you can do to tell the robots that you're enjoying the content. Others might also enjoy it because then they'll share it with them and that helps me. I really appreciate it. So thanks for that in advance. Today's absence of logic is squarely focused on the fact that in pretty much every example of different market conditions, there's a meme or a catchphrase or a viral tweet that circulates through the communities on Twitter and Reddit, etc., and picks up steam and almost becomes a strategy for investing. Here's an example. We just saw a pretty significant sell-off in the crypto markets, and the rallying cry is to HODL, buy the dip, crypto fire sale, buy the dip, buy the discount. Whenever the markets are down, this is the way people react. At market tops, you have people circulating the I'm never selling memes from Wolf of Wall Street or calling for insane price predictions that are completely out of control. And what strikes me is that these memes that began as satirical musings, as jokes, have quickly and steadily gotten conflated for genuine crypto investing strategies. For someone who's new to crypto, they are already overwhelmed. They might see Twitter accounts with hundreds of thousands of followers flaunting their millions of dollars worth of crypto, screaming to buy the dip, and think that's just the way you're supposed to play it. And I'm not saying these memes have to stop. I get it, they're funny. I've probably participated at time. It's culture. Yes, I acknowledge that. However, we have to be clear the fact that these are memes, not blanket calls to action. And those with large followings do have a responsibility not to perpetuate the idea that buying the dip or I'm never selling or we're all gonna make it are genuinely strategies that others should follow and others should emulate. That said, everyone does bear individual responsibility for their own actions. And I'm not denying that. And that's why I'm calling this out. Each crypto investor must absolutely, unequivocally, never double down on a position because they see tweets, we're all gonna make it, or buy more crypto when they're already at a loss because someone called to buy the dip and got 100 retweets. Every single decision that you make in crypto is one with real money on the line. And every single person's situation is very different. We talked about this in the beginning of the show. Buying the dip for one person might be a brilliant move at a given moment, whilst for you, it's a direct line to disaster. I've heard countless stories of people who bought the dip on an altcoin only to watch every single cent they put in it dissolve before their very eyes to zero. The only way to make these decisions with any conviction is with data. Not emotion, not influencer advice, not memes, not culture. And I say this out of love, but if you're buying the dip because you're seeing the idea circulate online, that's a 404 logic not found. I repeat, memes are not investment advice. They're satire and they should be taken as such. So please have a plan that doesn't include memes and please be careful out there because I really want you to succeed and I genuinely mean that. Okay, my friends, it's sponsor time, which keeps coffee in my cup, which I have again neglected because I get so distracted talking, and this show coming to you every week on the channel. First and foremost, I want to shout out my friends at Unstoppable Domains, who offer easy-to-use blockchain-based domain names that you can use for a plethora of purposes, such as sending and receiving crypto, hosting a decentralized website, and more. Much like a domain name that YouTube.com uses to abstract away the complexity of IP addresses that the web uses to route you to your favorite content, Unstoppable Domains provides blockchain-based resolution of human-readable names like Hashoshi.crypto to a series of cryptocurrency addresses to cut down on the mistakes and the complexity wrought from the ugly long crypto address formats that we all have come to know and love and in some ways hate at the same time. If nothing else, having one domain from Unstoppable is a great way to provide a public payable set of addresses for a variety of cryptocurrencies. So I will leave a referral link below if you want to pick one up for yourself. No pressure. Thank you for listening. Now, if you tuned in last week, you might remember that I covered a platform called Yay Games, and they are a decentralized marketplace, incubator, and platform, a publisher for blockchain games, if you will. In that show, I mentioned their upcoming blockchain game called Bold Point, and today's sponsored segment from Yay Games is focused on diving deeper into Bold Point. The game itself centers around a medieval theme where players use non-fungible token-based characters to embark on quests, to level up their character, and battle against friends and competing players. Within the game, players will be able to earn the native Yay token and NFT items with mechanisms to create new in-game items, minting new NFTs, if you will, whilst playing the game. Also featured in the game will be a native NFT marketplace where in-game items can be bought, sold, and exchanged, not unlike the Grand Exchange in the OG MMORPG RuneScape. That's a tongue twister. Those of you who are cultured enough to have played it will get the reference. These items in the marketplace as well will have minting of new items, likely payable via Yay tokens, and the exchange therein will probably be via Yay tokens. And furthermore, the ability to build clans with your friends will allow players to navigate the fractured world of Bold Point and tackle tournaments and quests as a team, which genuinely makes games more fun to play if you have a team. As one progresses through the game through player versus player or player versus AI battles, they will level up their character in the game to open up more competitive play as well over time. Now, as mentioned last week, those who are staking in the Yay Games Launchpad platform will be the first to get a crack at the Bold Point world, but there will be other opportunities for folks to get involved. The MVP version of the game is going to go live tentatively the week of the 20th through 24th of December, and it will feature the NFT marketplace and likely some of the in-game NFT minting mechanics that I talked about earlier. So we're gonna get a glimpse at what this game is all about very, very soon. And as always, this is just a reminder that this show is not in the business of calling you to act and buy tokens. It is always informational and educational in nature. Know the risks before you buy anything and put any of your money on the line. Research is key. All right, folks, let's do some community Q&A. All right, we're switching camera angles because in true Hishoshi YouTube channel fashion, it seems like every week there's some sort of issue. My camera died, so we're going to go into the Q&A session. Just to let you know, I answer questions from the community in every single episode of Crypto Over Coffee. So if you have a question, and every question is a good question, please do submit them in the comments on YouTube, or if you're on a podcast platform and don't have access to YouTube comments, you can send them to me at Hishoshi4 on Twitter. So let's jump into the first question of the day here, and it is from Jean-Philippe L. Hishoshi, I'm sure you get this question all the time, but I was wondering what you would suggest to get a job working for a DeFi or blockchain related company. Done a few tutorials, and I want to take things to the next level. Any tips? So whether you're a technical person or a non-technical person, the very first thing that you should be doing is going back to basics, learning about the primitive building blocks that compose the things in the blockchain space. How does blockchain work? How do the underlying cryptography components behind blockchains work? How does your favorite blockchain protocol do things? How does that stuff work? That is going to set you up for success in this space, okay? The second thing that you can do is do what you're doing, right? It's taking tutorials. If you want to be a blockchain programmer, you want to do dApp development, you should be doing tutorials online. You should be finding content, delving into the documentation for various projects to level up your skills there. Even if you're a technical person, you should also be engaging with the communities on Discord and Telegram for your project of choice or your company of choice. You would be so surprised how often both technical and non-technical people start out as a member of the community in Discord or in Telegram. They start being active, they donate some of their time, they engage with everyone, they get to know the founders of the projects, and then quickly turn that into a job, a full-time job with that project. So that's the biggest thing I would say, is start building your knowledge. And while you're doing that, engage with the community, start contributing and donating your time to that project. And you will be so surprised at how fast you are able to parlay that into a full-time job. So thank you very much for your question. Next question is from Do the Derek. Have you heard of Neo Tokyo and what are your thoughts on it? Yes, I've heard of Neo Tokyo. I believe that in any of these projects, right, Neo Tokyo and all of the other gaming and metaverse projects, super hot right now. Okay, we know that. Neo Tokyo being a project that is one my friends are making, right? So Alex Becker and Elio Trades, you probably are familiar with their YouTube channels. I think it's really fantastic. What's being built is really fantastic. And I know that both of these guys and anyone that they're working with really understands how to make something valuable in terms of not financially valuable necessarily, but something that is valuable in terms of tangible entertainment value, in terms of tangible value to the community, and not doing so in a, you know, solely self-enriching way. Okay, so I do really think it's going to be powerful stuff. It's actually probably a recent announcement that went out today related to the Series 2 element for Neo Tokyo. So let me know what you guys think about it. It'd be really interesting, and let me know if you have become a citizen. Thank you for your question. And I think this is the last question of the day. We're going through these pretty quick today because I took a little extra time on other stuff in the video. Peter Wiesen asks, thoughts on Bitcoin becoming a reserve currency? And people ask this a lot, whether Bitcoin could become a reserve currency for a country, could become a reserve currency for multiple countries around the world. And I think that while it would be interesting, it's not ready yet. It's not ready now. I think the stability, the volatility, the lack of understanding of what this is and how it works is definitely a concern that would not make it conducive to becoming a reserve currency for a country right now. Could it happen? Yes. Is it likely? Probably not. However, if you think about the evolution of gold over time, gold was not even considered a reserve currency. It was kind of just like an aristocratic element. It was a currency until it became an element in reserve for something like a reserve-backed currency, which was the predecessor to like our modern fiat system. We were literally passing around gold coins, is what I mean. The shift towards Bitcoin, something intangible as a reserve currency, is a mental thing that I think will take time for people to get. And I think the stability over time, as the supply of Bitcoin continues, the inflation and the supply of Bitcoin continues to be sort of constricted, and the markets start to become larger, so there's less volatility and less sort of violent swings in price, I think that will help make this potential reality. I think more likely we're going to see buckets of assets collateralizing currencies rather than there being a single reserve. But let me know what you think. It's really hard to say what's going to happen in the future. I'm simply postulating, and who knows, tomorrow there could be some news that completely changes my mind. So thank you for your questions. Thank you for everyone who asks questions. If you have one, leave it in the comments. But most of all, thank you so much for watching or listening to Crypto Over Coffee. I really appreciate it. If you have time to stick around, I will leave other awesome crypto videos here for you to watch if that is something that you're interested in doing. I want to thank you again and give my best to you and your family. Hope you have a wonderful week ahead of this next episode, which is coming next Saturday. Thank you very much. And until next time, cheers.